Are you playing the market, or is the market playing you?
You done taken a wrong turn.
The Money Life Market Call helps you answer the question by discussing what's working in the investment world right now.
It's working. It's working. It's working.
It's real guidance about real investments from real experts.
I play at expert level.
You might find that next great investment you were looking for, or hear that it's time to sell something you expected to hold on to.
Let it go.
You'll learn how investment pros make decisions and what they see for the future.
See your future. Be your future.
You may be excited one moment and angry or frustrated the next.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
But that's just life in the market, as Chuck Jaffe talks stocks, mutual funds, and more.
I can live with that.
In the Daily Money Life Market Call.
Yes, yes, it's Money Life Market Call time, and I'm joined today by one of your favorites. He's actually, I don't have favorites. He's just more one of my favorite people in the investing world to chat with. So it's one of those things that every time I talk with him, I spend lots of other time trying to find excuses to talk to him. His name is Jim Lowell, and he is the editor of the Fidelity Investor Newsletter. He's chief investment officer at Advisor Investments, which you may recall not only is involved with Jim and the Fidelity Investor, but also Dan Wiener from the Independent Advisor for Vanguard Investors, and their director of research, Jeff Damaso, also comes on this show. If you want to learn more, fidelityinvestor.com. And Jim's on Twitter. He's at Jim_Lowell. But right now he's here. Jim, welcome back.
Great to be here.
So we always start with methodology. And the methodology at Advisor Investments is buy the manager, not the fund. But of course, that is a methodology that is increasingly unpopular in a world where it's buy the index and keep your costs ultra low. So explain why it's buy the manager, not the fund, and how come it works and how it works so well for you guys.
Very good. Well, first of all, let me just start with the index fund, the ETF revolution, which absolutely continues to gather momentum and assets at an extraordinary clip, and really over and against, as you noted, the actively managed fund universe. So kudos to the industry. The problem is that investors in those products are making an assumption that low cost means low risk. And when you're talking about markets that are hitting successive highs, and when you're talking about markets where valuations are lofty in buckets, even though they're individual companies that are certainly very attractive, when you invest in an index fund or an ETF, granted, it's going to be lower cost than your average actively managed mutual fund, but it is not going to be lower risk. In fact, I would argue, especially if market peaks, those buckets become increasingly risky and the benefits of active management come to the fore. And what we mean by active management are individual managers or teams of managers who run funds, whether they're equity funds, bond funds, currency funds, you name it. And what we do is we say we buy the manager, not the fund, by which we mean we have a proprietary database that looks at the career track records of the managers that we invest in over the total arc of their career, so we know how good or not good they are relative to passive market benchmarks, which, by the way, are precisely the kinds of products that the index and ETF industry is presenting to investors. So we certainly don't invest in an average manager, if we can help it. We look for managers who truly stand out relative to their benchmark and therefore relative to an index fund or an ETF in their space. And we look at managers not just from a return perspective. We'd love to see managers that could beat their benchmark in terms of total return on the upside. We're also very focused on the risk-adjusted skill sets that managers bring to the table, namely managers who lose less in inevitable downdrafts. Now, we've been going for so long in this marketplace without even a normal 10% plus pullback that I will be more surprised if we don't get one than if we do. Unfortunately, I can't tell you when, but when we do, the managers that we invest in ought to, if past is prologue, be able to help defend us against the downside and be buying and adding to their best ideas and positions to recapitalize on the upside. So if ever there has been a time to consider active management, it is precisely at this point when the herd has completely run away from them.
Okay. So that gives us a good reason to look at active management. What makes you look away? What makes, you know, what gets you the point where you say, okay, I liked this guy, but he's lost it? Because we do know that the great active managers are few and far between. The ones who can look great for a while, there's a lot of them.
So a lot of the work that we do screens for managers who just get lucky. So they might have overweighted, say, technology when technology was on a tear, been dramatically underweight biotechnology when biotechnology was going through its multiple swoons last year. Take a manager who has invested for more than 10, 15, 20 years would know, Will Danoff of Fidelity Contra Fund. Look at his return last year, up under 4%. Versus an S&P that was up just a little bit above 12%. If ever there was a case, I guess, where index investors could sort of feel good and throw, kick someone when they were down, it would have been last year. This year, however, Contra Fund's up over 15%. The market itself up over 7%. So even in a very short-term time period, when a manager you think might be losing it and might trigger you to want to get out of it, delivers every reason to do so. You look at their track record, you look at the career arc. We know that Will Danoff's skill sets are superior in terms of risk management, almost always losing less in downdrafts versus benchmarks and peer group, and that his return side over rolling time periods, 3, 5, 10 years, are absolutely spectacular. So it's not that active managers can't lose money, but it's been, I think, so long since indexes have lost money that investors have lulled themselves into a false sense of complacency with a product that is low cost, but I would say increasingly higher risk, especially relative to the best active manager out there.
So what are a couple of funds that you particularly like right now?
Well, if I look across the board and really stick to sort of the Fidelity frame, I continue to think Low Price Stock, run by Joel Tillinghast, is one of the best all-around global solutions to an investor's portfolio. In fact, I think if I could only own one fund and not have to look at it for 10 years, assuming that Joel Tillinghast stays the manager of that fund for those 10 years, it would be a Low Price Stock. Across the pond, I like Fidelity Japan Smaller Companies. I like Fidelity International Growth. Fidelity New Markets Income, which invests in emerging market debt. All three of those would, in concert, round out a wonderful approach to undervalued, underappreciated, underanalyzed marketplaces relative to our own. Here at home, when I'm looking at valuation concerns, I definitely like managers who, like Matt Bruhan at Large Cap Stock or Mega Cap Stock, run concentrated portfolios, highly selective. In the healthcare space, Eddie Yoon at Fidelity Healthcare, a hard man to beat over any lasting time period. There really are, and Fidelity has so many managers, part of the problem is figuring out who to invest in. And Peter Lynch continues to mentor managers at Fidelity. And what he used to always say and still does is that for a stock investor, you need to know what you own. Well, for a fund investor, you need to know who you own. And so we spend a lot of time, as I said at the outset, understanding their track record, how it relates to benchmark and peer group, and making sure that who we own is the right person for the right time and the right intermediate time period. And so far, there's an embarrassment of riches at Fidelity in terms of being able to pick good, truly good managers with great track records that are going to be able to win when the going's good and, again, hopefully defend better when it doesn't.
And now we're going to find out how you feel about some Fidelity funds that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
Yes, it's hold it or fold it time with Jim Lowell. He is the editor of the Fidelity Investor Newsletter. He is also Chief Investment Officer at Advisor Investments. For more information, go to fidelityinvestor.com and follow Jim on Twitter. He's at Jim_Lowell. Now, you know how hold it or fold it works, so we're just going to jump straight into it, see how many Fidelity funds we can get to. Jim, you mentioned Fidelity Select Healthcare as one of the funds that you like. Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, had a request for that, but he also had a request for Fidelity Select Biotech. So obviously, you like healthcare. That was on your list. Do you like biotech and distinguish between the two as to whether somebody should own one, the other, or both?
If you're a growth investor with a 10-year time horizon and can stomach a 20% loss in an individual position, it would be hard to argue against Fidelity Biotechnology, obviously the most volatile sector within the healthcare sector and within the overall marketplace, but also the one with the greatest potential for truly spectacular gains. Those gains won't come without a lot of risk, but in the hands of the manager, I would say that is a definite buy in my book and a good complement to Fidelity Healthcare, although at a unit, Fidelity Select Healthcare also owns a significant amount of biotechnology names inside of his fund. So healthcare also a buy, maybe for a more growth and income-oriented investor.
So you had a buy there on Fidelity Select Biotech, FBIOX, and also a buy on Fidelity Select Healthcare, FSPHX. Bye. You mentioned ContraFund as bouncing back. Evelyn in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, and here's a hint, Jim, that's my mom, wants to know whether or not she should stick with Fidelity ContraFund because she wasn't so in love with their performance last year.
Well, nobody was, and probably nobody more embarrassed or disappointed than the manager, Will Danoff, but it is an absolute buy in my book. One of the best go-anywhere growth funds your investment dollars can buy, really, in any year. Obviously, last year would have been a great year to have been adding to it. This year, up 15%+ year-to-date, but with a lot of room to run over the long haul, Fidelity ContraFund to clear buy.
Okay, so that is a buy on FCNTX Fidelity ContraFund.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Alex in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, wants to know about Fidelity Select Defense and Aerospace. That's FSDAX.
Well, the sector certainly benefits from the fact that the world has never known world peace. And over the last 100 days, saber rattling has increased across the Pacific Rim, Middle East, North Africa, and uncertainty here at home in terms of leadership and directive and mandate means that aerospace and defense is likely going to continue to be a necessary part of any well-diversified investment portfolio's arsenal. So I would say that it is a buy, but I would qualify that by saying that there are other areas of the marketplace that I expect to do significantly better, and we just talked about one of them, Select Biotech.
It's a soft landing for Fidelity Select Defense and Aerospace. That's a buy, but it's a soft buy, FSDAX, because other parts of the market you like better. When you mentioned healthcare and biotech. Now, Alex had another request, a completely different part of the market, this being real estate. He wants to know about FRESX. That's Fidelity Real Estate Investment Portfolio.
So I like Fidelity's real estate portfolio. They actually have multiple ways that you can invest in real estate investment trusts. There's obviously a cloud of concern about how a rising rate environment may negatively impact this particular group of stocks. That said, over a rolling time period where an economy is growing, the benefits of a growing economy tend to outweigh interest rate concerns for the sector. And so I think as part of a well-diversified income allocation within your portfolio, that it would make a strong sense. And that's a good, relatively conservative way to approach it. So I'd say it's a buy.
What is this obsession with real estate?
Well, the obsession with real estate is it's a buy on FRESX, Fidelity Real Estate Investment Portfolio. Mark in Baltimore wants to know about Fidelity Select Wireless. That's FWRLX.
Wireless names are being bid up. Actually, the tech sector as a whole this year is clearly on a tear. It is an area that I can only think will continue to experience demand growth, not just domestically, but globally. I think in the hands of an active manager, and here you would be in the hands of an active manager whose career and bonus depends upon being able to beat his benchmark, certainly a good way to approach it. I would rather own Fidelity Select Technology, which is their broader-based select fund. The reason for that is that it incorporates things like software box makers as well as wireless and networking. And I think that's a safer way to play what looks to be a pretty volatile and maybe a fairly overvalued subsector of the technology marketplace.
It's a cautious buy on Fidelity Select Wireless because you don't love FWRLX.
Buyer beware, dude.
And instead, a strong buy on Fidelity Select Technology.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
Last, in the limited time we've got left, I'm going to ask you about one of the index funds. Andrew in San Jose, California, wants to know about Fidelity Spartan Small Cap Index, FSSPX.
Spartan Small Cap Index for a long-term buy makes absolute sense. Near term, I'd much prefer to own an actively managed small cap fund in general. However, at this particular point in the market, I would say that Fidelity low price stock, conservative way to enter the mid-cap realm on a global basis, or Fidelity mid-cap stock would be my preferred path. Small cap stock at this particular moment look a little bit frothy to me.
You don't dislike it. Again, it actually was a buy in there, but you'd prefer to go Fidelity mid-cap stock over Fidelity Spartan small cap. Still, both were buys.
Buy, buy, buy. Is that all you can think about?
Yeah, pretty much all we could think about were buys with Jim Lowell, but some were okay buys and some were good buys. And now we have to say our goodbyes to Jim Lowell. But Jim, it's always great. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chuck.
Jim Lowell, everybody. And if you want more information on the Fidelity Investor Newsletter or anything that Jim does, go to thefidelityinvestor.com. Don't forget to follow Jim on Twitter at Jim_Lowell. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up today's edition of Money Life. Stay tuned.